Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Our phone line back up and running, 615-737-1025.
Call us back, Joni. Who was it? Joni?
Janie.
Jamie. Janie?
Janie.
Jamie's crying. Great Van Halen song. About the Titans.
Lots of people crying.
Yeah.
About the Tennessee Titans.
Including us.
We will have the Rob rant later this hour. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into the Vols and the Hogs and James Franklin getting canned at Penn State. We'll get into all that a little bit later this hour. And I'm sure on the college football front, lots more coming on that front tomorrow as well. But wild weekend in the world of sports. Titans lose 20-10 to the Raiders. They are 1-5, which again, same record as the Baltimore Ravens. If you told me that heading into the year, woo! How about that? 1-5 for the Titans, 1-5 for the Ravens. Cam Ward, 26 of 38, 222 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception, and the Titans once again finding a way to only muster up 10 points in an NFL football game. We've had the discussion at large today. What does this all mean for Ward? With the coaching staff, he's not looked very good to this point. How concerned are we by that? You know, the one thing that I guess I feel good about with him right now is, like, I don't think mentally or, like, from a confidence perspective, he's going to be crushed by this. Like, it just seems like he's got a makeup to him that I'm not going to say he's immune to all that, but, like, I feel good about him working through that part of it. I mean, the thing that I'm wondering about with him as his career goes on, and this is not really all that different than what we talked about with him heading into the draft, is he ever going to get to a point where he is consistently accurate enough with the football to make the plays necessary that you have to make on a consistent down-by-down basis in the NFL? I mean, that's still where we're at with him. And so far, the answer has been overwhelmingly no. But can he get to that point is, I think, the fundamental question.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I didn't think so coming out of college. People surprise you all the time. I'll never, you know, the whole accuracy thing, I will never look at it the same after Josh Allen, because it's just, you know, he defied what I thought was a pretty much a rule, which is basically like whatever your jump shot is when you get to a certain age, that's what your jump shot's going to be, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to talk about it, whatever your control is as a pitcher. You know, I mean, how much does that improve as you get into your 20s? But that and the quick decisions, and again, it's like then factor in protection, then factor in coaching and scheme and play calling and coaches who can take a player and say, he does this well, this not all that well, so we're going to do this and make it as good as possible around him. I don't think these coaches do that. So that can get better. But even if that gets better, is he going to be good enough? I mean, I have my doubts, but certainly you took him number one. It's early with a terrible team. You're going to give it – you should as a franchise give him the time to see if he can grow into that. I love his outlook, his mindset, the way he carries himself. I love all that. I think he's tough. I think the way he got to be the number one pick is a you love that, you know, but it's still, this job's very, very few people can do it at a high level. Almost no one does it at a level of, you know, being the number one overall pick. Who gets picked there? You know, like, it almost never works out. But you know, like Weston Clarksville says, is it me or is Cam starting to get scared in the pocket, causing him to do dumb stuff because he's tired of getting hit? Yeah, I mean, I think we are seeing a little bit of some impact from, yeah, I don't know if it's scared to get hit, but just thinking he's going to get hit.
Felt like this week.
Wondering if he's going to get hit.
Might have seen it the most so far this week.
I think you're right. I think happy feet or whatever you want to call it, I think may have been as apparent this week. And look, he understands Max Crosby's coming. Now, it's not the blind side, but he's coming over here. And, you know, J.C. Latham's out there, you know, for the first time in a few weeks. And so, I mean, he knows the deal. That's one thing the Raiders have. They are a bad team, but Max Crosby is an incredible player. So that's probably part of it too. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's right now it's not good, and some of it is just like there is time. At times there's somewhere you can go with the ball. You got to deliver it on time, and it's not happening enough.
Well, there's one thing we've not brought up yet that I heard yesterday that, again, just makes me kind of shake my head a little bit and wonder what in the world's going on around there. Now, you know, before we play this clip, I think sometimes, and, you know, I've certainly been guilty of this. I think media at large is sometimes guilty of this, is just dissecting every word people say and trying to find so much meaning in it. You know, I understand Jeffrey Simmons has had as much practice as anybody in football of standing up in front of the media over the last few years and discussing a loss, right? Like, he is an absolute veteran at discussing losing at this point, and he's tired of it. Everybody else is tired of it. I get it. But this is what Jeffrey Simmons had to say yesterday after the game about the Titans and the way that they practiced last week coming off the win against Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, that is disappointing. I mean, when you could, I mean, in this league, you got to learn how to stack wins, and to be able to carry that momentum over, you have to do, I mean, start at practice. You know, I probably, just being honest, like, this probably was one of our worst week of practice. Came out flat Thursday and things like that and that nature too. You know, sometimes things carry over, and when you get in this league, you have to prove it every week and reprove it. You know, you got to go out there and keep proving yourself, your team, that you can win this league. And, you know, we didn't do that on all three phases. And, you know, today was bad football. You know, we didn't play good today at all. So
that was Simmons yesterday. And look, good on him for saying it. Like, again, Jeffrey Simmons, as much as we've complained about Jeffrey Simmons over the last couple of years and some of the way he's done stuff, I have nothing but good things to say about Jeffrey Simmons so far this year, both from the way he's played and the way that he has addressed the media, accountability, all these things. So continued high marks for Jeffrey Simmons so far this year. But it did remind me, Joe, of last year. Like, so Simmons is saying there, you know, this is one of the worst weeks of practice that they've had. They came out flat on Thursday. And I immediately thought back to last year, late in the year. They go on the road. They get a win at Houston. They come out, I think, the next week and just get their doors blown off by the Washington Commanders. And one of the things he talked about was
a cold, cold day.
Yeah. Like, and Jarvis Bradley made sure to point out, hey, nobody else could say this, but it's freaking cold out there, man. We didn't want to tackle nobody. But Jeffrey Simmons, after that game, talked about how basically they were hung over from success after the one win they got on the road against Houston. And it just makes you, like, going back to the coaching conversation, it makes you think, like, what happens around here, like, the week after they win games? And look, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I can only go on what Jeffrey Simmons is saying. Like, he's talking about how it's one of the worst weeks of practices they've had. They came out flat after one win against the Arizona Cardinals. Last year they won for the first time in forever against the Houston Texans on the road. And the next week he's talking about how they were hung over from success. And again, I'm not blaming Simmons, but it just makes you wonder organizationally, what in the world's going on around there? You guys can't handle, like, the smallest amount of success like a professional the next week?
It's amazing. And it's like, you know, you have those terrible performances where it's like, well, it was a great week of practice. Like, okay, well, super. I think they should just ban talking about what practice was like. Don't tell us what practice
ban
was like.
Ban practice in general. Well, then, just don't even practice anymore at this point.
Maybe.
One could argue they may not be already.
Maybe they should try it, you know? It's like, just meditate all week and then go play.
I mean, that's up. Didn't the Titans do that? Not to bring up Vrabel, but, like, you know, through all the COVID stuff, like, they just couldn't practice, and they showed up on that Tuesday and was like, yeah, I guess we're playing. And they look great.
It's beat the Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Practice overrated.
Yeah, maybe. It is. It just speaks to lack of leadership at the top and lack of leadership in the locker room. Again, I think Jeff can be a part of a leadership. I think he fills a role. He's a great player. This year, he is a great football player right now. I wasn't sure he'd get back to that. Obviously, what he did in the offseason, exactly what he should have done. But they don't have the leadership. I mean, like, Cam Ward could be a guy like that, but he's a rookie. He's a struggling rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie not playing.
So they don't have the leadership in the locker room. They don't have enough good players to have enough good leaders in the locker room. They don't have leadership from the top. The coaching staff from Brian Callahan down there obviously can't hold people accountable or get the best out of people. It's pretty simple at this point. Alex, interesting point here. I just want to throw in. He said, I know it's college football, but UCLA should be an example. That all the example you need of how a coaching change can actually change the way a team plays. That is a fair point. Now, you know, they fired their the head coach. They fired their OC. They bring in Neuheisel's kid, and he's out there with his long floor. Like, hey, guys, I got some awesome plays for you. And he's, you know, they're just – so I don't know if there's, like, anything like – anyone like that on this Titans coaching staff. Like, I have no idea. I don't think, like, Nick Holtz is going to come in and just be like, boom, now the new sheriff's in town, and all of a sudden start throwing the ball over the field. But that is a good point. I mean, sometimes you get a bump. Maybe at some point try to see if you can get a bump.
Nick Holtz. Forgot he's on the team.
He does
wasn't
not.
Calling plays before. Still don't.
It's fine.
Still not.
It's fine. Cool with that. I'm cool with that.
It's all good. It's all good.
We're good, guys. We're good.
More coming up with the Titans 20-10 loss to the Raiders. Coming up next, take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Mondays were made for Massaro. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. Got two Monday night football games tonight. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Massaro does game night. Massaro, football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today prior to the Monday night football games. Monday night matchups are the Bills taking on the Falcons and the Bears and the Commanders. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe doesn't seem to be a huge fan of that Monday night slate there.
Those are two okay games. If you could combine them, you'd have a great game. Worthy of Monday Night Football.
It's true. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Lance to the program. Lance, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. You know, the Titans are so bad. It's, you know, when they drafted Cam, they made a mistake. I agree with Joe. They should have taken the picks because this team is so bad. There's not a team in, a quarterback in the NFL can win five games with this team. You could take Mahomes and put him on this team. You could take Allen, put him on this team. But they're not going to win. They can't win. They don't have the talent. So blaming Cam for everything and saying he's not a success. I mean, Troy Aikman, they won one game the first year he was there, but then they built a team around him. He won three Super Bowls. I mean, it's just totally asinine crazy to pile on him. They need to fire that weak coach that they got. Get somebody in there that, dude, is run the roster in and out, picking up people, and try to build a team. But, good Lord, blaming everything on Cam and flushing Cam is idiotic. And comparing him to Levis, I mean – I was kind of a Levis fan, too, but at the same time, he didn't have a chance anyway. I mean, none of them have a chance back there, not even the most seasoned quarterback.
Thank you, Lance.
I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call. Good self catch there by Lance, too.
Did Lance almost say a bad word?
I felt like he was about to go off with Callahan. I was like, oh, no.
Whenever you're not sure, Lance, just say that mother farting Callahan. I tell you what, that's you all you got to do.
You still make me so nervous every time you do that.
See, it works every time. Hubert Davis, thank you for helping us navigate.
You talk about what, you know, college basketball coming up. That's probably the only thing of college basketball I'm going to pay attention to the first couple months.
I heard some smack talk about Hubert Davis. Somebody was talking smack about Hubert Davis, a player. I can't remember who, but I saw it.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So I don't like how they treated somebody. I can't remember exactly what it was or who it was. But
well, you know, at least even if he treated them poorly, the language was clean.
That's right. Yes. Fart, fart, filth, flarn, filth. Lenny says, so to the caller, I kind of agree, but it's like, you know, again, it gets into like, okay, so we can't judge quarterback at all then? We just can't. I mean, I agree that they don't have much of a chance. It's terrible. Yep. It's terrible for these quarterbacks. Are there quarterbacks that you could put into the Tennessee Titans right now who would do better than Cam Ward? I believe so. Would they do great? Would they win football games more than they lose football games? Probably not. I mean,
this is, again, a conversation.
It's always hard. You know, it's like, okay, but Patrick Mahomes, put him in here.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Mahomes, who torched the Lions last night, by the way. He's played with terrible offensive line, playing with mediocre receivers, and is still won. But they've also still been a good football team with tremendous coaching and offensive scheme and design and a good defense. Lenny says, would you say Jackson Dart is better than Cam? If not, explain why Dart has better stats and ratings and also more wins. I don't know, but I can tell you that I'd love to have Cam Scataboo in my backfield. I'd love to have the pass rush the Giants have. They are not the total cheeks, buns team that the Titans are. But Jackson Dart, he has been better than Cam Ward.
I was about
Ward
to say,
right
to answer
now.
The question, yes. Right now, Jackson Dart is better than Cam Ward. But, you know, long term, what is it going to look like? That's the real question.
And I have no idea. I don't know. Like, it's just so hard. We see careers that look so good early and flame out. We see careers that look terrible and people give up on guys. They go somewhere else. They do great. It's just, it's hard. It's really hard to even project from college to the pros. Obviously, everybody out here making millions, supposed trying to do it, and they fail way more than they succeed. And then you still have to try to guess what's going to happen once you get in the NFL. And the twists and turns happen all the time where it's like, oh, hey, actually, that guy's pretty good. I didn't realize that.
And again, like we've talked about this before, but everybody wants to put all the blame on one area and then absolve other parts of it from blame. When the real answer is probably this, like here's basically where I feel how I feel about it right now. The Titans roster is bad. It's not good. The Titans coaching staff, I believe, is bad and is not good and is going to get fired at some point here. And also, Cam Ward is playing bad right now. And some of that has to do with the coaching and some of that has to do with the roster. But some of it also doesn't. Like, some of it is Cam Ward by himself is not playing good football right now. And I think all of those things are true, and I know we just want to blame it all on the coach or we want to blame it all on the general manager, and we've gone through different stages here where we've done both of those things, you know, where, you know, as a fan base looking back over the last few years. But the bottom line right now is I think all those things are true. I think the roster's bad. We knew the roster was bad heading in this year. I think the coaching staff is bad. I think that's proven out so far this year that they're not good. Like, it's not a good coaching staff, and they're not going to be here. And independent of both of those things, like, Cam Ward is not playing good football right now. All of those things are true, and all of those things are why they are where they are right now.
And welcoming back to town, Mike Vrabel!
Yeah. Welcome back, Mike.
No, I think I couldn't agree more, everything you said. You know, it's bad. It's bad leadership from the top, and it's a weird dynamic in the front office, yeah. And there's just no way when you lose like this, like it just like it's, it gets to the point where everybody's looking to cover their own butt, yeah. and this, it's really his fault. It's not my fault. It's his fault. And then you have a coaching staff that just is not up to this. They just are not up to. And I think that, you know, I think that you start with Brian Callahan and the coordinator hires.
Yeah.
We've talked about it, but you really go back. You can't hire your buddy who's never been an OC and a guy who's never been a DC as your coordinator.
No.
You can't do it. And I think Rand Carthon deserves some blame and you know, some of this too. But, again, you can give blame to a whole bunch of different people. It's bad from the top, and it's just permeated the whole thing.
Well, and again, like, I mean, you can – we could, this going back years, like it's bad ownership. Like it's everything. And this is, I guess if you're a Titans fan, what you're scared to death of right now. And we talked about this heading into the draft. Like, the New York Jets are a perfect example. The Cleveland Browns are a perfect example. Sometimes bad organizations and the way that they run their operation just ruins things. Like, to me, it's not a coincidence that Sam Darnold gets drafted by the Jets and leaves the Jets and is good. Like, it's not a coincidence that, you know, look, even Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback in Green Bay forever. He gets the Jets, and yeah, he got hurt the first year, but the second year he didn't look like he had a clue what he was doing out there, and all of a sudden he's got Pittsburgh 4-1.
He looks all right
this year.
Again.
Like, it's – sometimes it's your organization.
Yeah.
And
this is one of those organizations
this is,
now.
This is one
very
of those
depressing
organizations. And that's what we talked about with the draft. It's like, you know, Cam Ward, independent of where he gets drafted, has plenty of question marks. Like, he's not a clean prospect. And one of the things we talked about, though, was, and then you factor in not being a clean prospect. You know, there's some people who don't think he's going to be very good in the NFL. I mean, look, there's some people, Lewis Riddick talking about Patrick Mahomes, like what he's going to be. So, like, there are some people that believe he's got an immense amount of talent. But, you know, one of the things we said was he's also coming here. And how big of a deal is that? And so far, coming here has not worked out very well for Cam Ward. It's very early. I get it.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah, it's.
You are the Jets and the Browns right now.
Yeah, you are. You are the Jets, Browns. I mean, again, like the Giants are like, that's the comparison because obviously you have the rookie quarterback who's playing better than your rookie quarterback. But, like, the Giants, long term, I think they've, you know, with the Mara family, they've been run pretty well, you know. The Jets, the Browns, I mean, that's the Lions have been there. They've again, the Lions would be a source of hope. But also, like, they had an ownership change within the family.
Yeah.
With someone who seems to have a clue. And, you know, ownership that doesn't have a clue is typically a big part of this. And right now, I think that absolutely describes the Tennessee Titans.
Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get back into the Titans and the Rob rant coming up at 7:45 because I got some things to say about some of the things I saw yesterday. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee surviving against Bobby Petrino and the Hogs and a massive move made in college football this weekend. We'll get Joe's thoughts on all that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rob rant coming up here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, Tennessee survives against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Bobby Petrino comes into Neyland, has that offense humming. Talen Green for Arkansas throws for 256. He also ran for 63. Tennessee's defense gave up 240 yards rushing to Arkansas on Saturday, which is not good. Now, I will say, you know, I wear my emotions on my sleeve watching Tennessee football, and it usually comes out on Twitter. So every time I started tweeting about the defense, they, like, immediately the next play forced turnovers. So that was interesting. That was fun on Saturday. And to their credit, like, they have been very good at forcing game-changing turnovers all year to this point, right? I mean, they scored two touchdowns in the Mississippi State game. They had a touchdown against Syracuse. Like, their defense is good at forcing turnovers. It's lacking in a lot of other areas at the moment. But at the end of the day, they win. They get the W, 34-31 against Arkansas. They're 5-1. They moved up to number 11 in the AP poll, and they got a trip to Alabama coming up this Saturday, which we will have plenty of time to discuss. By the way, what a big weekend around here of football. I mean, yeah, the Titans play, but Rabel's at least coming to town. Vanderbilt's got LSU, and they're a 2.5-point favorite at home against LSU.
That's surprising
here today. Tennessee heading on the road to Alabama. So a very fun weekend of football coming up around here. But what did you make of Tennessee getting by and surviving against Petrino and the Hogs on Saturday?
Yeah, disappointing defensive effort, no doubt. Apparently the fire Tim Banks chants were going. Brandon, are you going to switch from Glenn Ellerby to Tim Banks? Let us know on the YouTube chat. And it's disappointing. It is disappointing that they – I do think that Talen Green is such a problem, running the football especially. But, I mean, just overall he's a problem. I think it puts you in a bind sometimes defensively, and so some of the straight-ahead run stuff maybe worked better than it would. Like, this week, can Tennessee not, you know, can they – I think they've got the personnel to not let Alabama just run all over them. We'll find out. That was disappointing. The defense is a big play. It's like a feast or famine defense, right? Big plays, turnovers, sacks. But they are not sound enough. They are not consistently sound enough. I thought with those D linemen getting back, we'd see more of that. So disappointing. The offense is really good, and you know, looking at this week, I think it's a have to outscore them, get them into a game like that, and try to outscore them in that game, in a game kind of like the game from a few years ago that they won, or even, I mean, last year. What was the final score last year? No, I guess it wasn't a high-scoring game. That's right. The first half, there was no offense at all.
Complete a pass.
Yeah, it kind of got going the second half. I think Tennessee needs to get well into the 30s to beat Alabama. And I think their offense is good enough to do that. Alabama's defense is good. It's not special. It's not an Alabama defense.
Well, three injury scares for Tennessee on Saturday. You had Bishop go down, and it looked like he was in some serious pain. And then he got up, walked off, and it sounds like he's going to be okay. Braylon Staley goes down in the fourth quarter. He had six catches for 109 yards in the game. Heupel said after the game that he was in the locker room celebrating and he's going to be fine. So Staley looks like he's okay. And then Aguilar went down on a long run in the game. I think it was a 28-yard run. He landed on the football, knocked the wind out of him, and it looked like for a second, I was like, God, did he just break his collarbone? Like, what's going on?
Oh, boy.
Out there. But he apparently is fine as well. So three kind of injury scares for Tennessee that it looks like they've dodged a bullet from on Saturday.
Yeah, which is huge. Yeah, the Aguilar thing for a few minutes, like, well.
Yep.
Pay more attention to the Titans? I don't know. What do you do? What do you do with your hands?
By the way, only one catch for 5 yards for Brazel on Saturday. They had a play early in the game where they had him open down the sideline. It looked like the ball got lost in the sun. And then a back shoulder play in the end zone that he just didn't catch. But not much from Brazel going on, and they still
he'll be fine.
Played well offensively. So Tennessee survives. We'll have more on the Tennessee front as the week goes on as they take on Alabama. James Franklin, they've lost three in a row, and it is amazing. Like, I was thinking about this, you know, 2 weeks ago, 17 days ago, they were in a game against Oregon at home in overtime with a chance to win. And you end up losing that game in overtime. You get your doors blown off, at least defensively, by UCLA the next week. And then you lose to Northwestern. And all of a sudden, James Franklin is fired and is out as head coach at Penn State. Your thoughts on that move that Penn State just made this weekend?
I mean, I did not think it would happen like this. It's in a way, it's years in the making, right? Because it's like, okay, got us to a certain point. Can he get us over them? But you gave him a 10-year freaking deal in 2021. The buyout is $45 million plus. And so this is the second biggest buyout ever. Jimbo has well, it'd be hard to beat with that $77 million from Texas A&M, but $45 million just – nope, like, we got to do it. Saturday night, I'm going to hit Mitch Lightmatter. Like, hey, any interest in a column in James Franklin? So I wrote, he's not coming back from this. However it ends, it's like it's over. You knew it was over, but not like you're fired the next day over. I did not think that was going to happen. But you know what? As all these other fans of other teams are like, oh, Florida fans are like, oh, so see, they actually are serious about football. Penn State is. So it's stunning. I think there's a lot of programs that will and should come after James Franklin. Like, a lot of places should be like 8-9 wins every year, good recruiting.
UAB.
Sure. There you go. They fired Dilfer. Trent Dilfer. They did. Tyler Bray out at Oregon State too, by the way. And there's a lot more to come. But, of course, all the talk now is can they get Cignetti? Cignetti, who's Hoosiers. Both of us were wrong, and I was stunned watching this game. They went in there and physically kicked the crap out of the Oregon Ducks, and I'm like, dude, Kurt Cignetti's like, I mean, he's the best coach in America. Is he not? Like, Kirby Smart's won national titles. But, like, who is better than Kurt Cignetti as a college football coach?
Looks pretty good right now, man.
It's freaking crazy. So now, and he's a Yinzer, he's from Pittsburgh, and so Penn State is going to throw everything at Cignetti. And it's amazing to say this, but I don't think he's leaving Indiana for Penn State. I don't. Like, think about that. Now I'm good. I mean, in today's world, which I think it makes college football even more interesting, it's like, do you have people who are giving you money? Do you have facilities you need? Are you rolling right now? At your place, Penn State has wideouts and 105,000 people at games.
Yep.
Okay. What else? What else is better about it? The history's better.
The history. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, right now you'd kick the crap out of that team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. They're going to go try to get him, and if not, they'll probably settle for Matt Rhule. I mean, seriously, they'll probably hire Matt Rhule.
Yep. We will probably get into this later in the week, but I do want to get your thoughts. I'm watching the Tennessee-Arkansas game, which, by the way, was just horrifically officiated. And you had Heupel talking about it after
some
the
game. Some good SEC officiating over the weekend.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Like, I thought that was bad. And it's not just the penalty discrepancy, because sometimes there are games where there should be a discrepancy in penalties. But I just thought it was brutal in the Tennessee-Arkansas game. And then you watch the Auburn-Georgia game, and you're like, oh, so it can get worse. Like, it was awful. In the Auburn-Georgia game. Horrific.
There's probably a rant to come on this at some point this week. The Kirby Smart calling a timeout and then trying to tell everybody,
I was clapping.
I mean, the entire world can see what you were doing, man. Like, everybody saw what you did. Like, we saw you did the timeout signal.
Except apparently the officials.
Yeah, but the I either have lost, like, the use of my eyes, basically, or and Sean McDonough, the rules analyst, but anybody watching was like, yeah, he was over the line
touchdown.
Before it was a touchdown. And I got people trying, well, no, actually, there was an earlier poke that loose. No, there was. What are people looking at? How did they screw this up? And, of course, the SEC, they're not going to let us listen to their stupid conversations like the ACC does. It's embarrassing. I mean, look, I hate to, like, have Hugh Freeze be a sympathetic figure because he was, like, crying at halftime. And it's like, well, now your team's screwed. And it's exactly what happened. They just completely just turtled and didn't even play the rest of the game. And they got their butts beat. But it should have been 17-0.
Yeah.
It's how that replay didn't see. All you need is like an inch of the ball touching the goal line. It was like a third of the ball was over. Then it got punched out. It's I don't understand how this could be so incompetent.
Well, the Rob rant coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
To me, this is the dumbest possible outcome.
Why don't you do a 2-minute drill all game?
No, I ain't think they.
Oh, I need sources to tell that?
This dude is an idiot.
Hey, guys, I got some awesome plays for you.
I think I sound as regular to where I'm from.
Have you watched the Titans play football the last couple years, Robbie?
This is all bullcrap, is what this is.
5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-5-
rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, I got a feeling this may be a common theme the rest of the year. And maybe I'm just a hater. We'll see. J.C. Latham, I thought was awful yesterday. And I guess there's some grace. You're coming back from injury. Who knows if he's fully healthy? And he's going up against Max Crosby. So I understand all of those things. But as I will repeatedly say, you drafted him number 7 overall to be an elite tackle in this league. And he looked anything but yesterday. And he's not alone. He was not solely responsible for the 6 sacks and 8 quarterback hits that the Titans surrendered yesterday. But he wasn't good. It was not very good against Max Crosby. I expected him to put up a better fight. And frankly, I've got a little bit of a problem with the Titans fans and the Titans media that have just anointed this guy already and just assumed that he's going to be really, really good, I guess because he was taken 7th overall. What have we seen so far from J.C. Latham at the NFL level that makes you believe that he's going to end up being really good? I understand that this year has basically been lost to this point from him, right? He played 2.5 quarters against Denver, and he's been dealing with an injury ever since then. So as the season goes on, we'll see if it gets a whole lot better. And believe me, I hope that it does, because by God, I don't want to be talking again about drafting a left tackle and a right tackle here over the next couple of years when draft talk comes around. But there's just been way too much for me, this assumption. It's they got J.C. Latham out there. It's okay. Well, what has that meant to this point in his career? I thought he had a not very good rookie season. He was okay as a rookie at left tackle. But as we've discussed a million times, Joe, it got to the point where they decided he couldn't play left tackle anymore and wanted to move him to the right side. And then yesterday, albeit it's a very short sample size, it's against an elite pass rusher in Max Crosby. I understand those things. But he's awful. He was awful yesterday. And the standard for him has to be really high. I've said it. If he's not, at the end of this season, if you don't look at him and think that he's going to end up being a great player for you at the right tackle, that's a huge problem. He's 7th overall, and he's shown no signs of that to this point. So, look, I'm not trying to single J.C. Latham out for why they lost yesterday, because it's certainly not on him, right? It's not, if J.C. Latham would have played better, they'd have won the game. There's a lot of problems that they have. But at some point, like, I need to see something from J.C. Latham that suggests to me that he might have a chance at being an elite player, which is what he should be when you draft him where you drafted him for the Tennessee Titans. And yesterday, injury or not, you lose the injury excuse with me when you're healthy enough to get out there and play. He played. It was awful. And it's got to get better.
Yeah, it's bad. And this is one of those, I guess J-Rob could, you know, put out another thing on Instagram like, oh, not my fault, guys. I mean, this is not a J-Rob thing, right? This is on the current or whoever. I don't know. I can't remember even who made what picks in what years. But this is a number 7. It's not good. The fact that you had to switch him, not good. I think the bigger, you know, there is a bigger story there of, one, it's obviously personnel evaluation, but it's also, you know, Joey Garrison took a moment from covering the White House yesterday. Our pal Joey Garrison.
Shout out Joey Garrison. Fellow Franklin High School alum.
There we go.
Sweet.
My former Tennessean coworker. Love that dude. And he is a diehard Titans and Preds and Vandy fan.
It sure is.
And he tweeted at me, are we sure that Bill Callahan isn't a bad offensive line coach? And I was like, I mean, decades of evidence would say he has been great, but look, you know what? Sometimes people lose their fastball. Sometimes people, I don't know. At some point, you want Bill Callahan judging players, helping to pick players, which they 100% lean on him, and they should. And then developing players, working with players, putting them together, putting the whole picture together. You want it to, at some point, not be embarrassingly bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what it is.
Why did he look so bad on the right? He looked terrible last week, this week, yesterday. Worse than almost any game last year.
I mean, Crosby is part of it for sure.
Part of it. And look, he's coming off a hip injury. Maybe it's rust. But it was bad. It is bad from J.C. Latham. And again, like, it would be one thing if it was bad yesterday, he was coming off the injury, and there was a season's worth of work last year that was really, really good. But there's not. Like, he was, I don't know, Joe, you tell me if I'm being too harsh. I thought last year as a rookie, he was okay at best, albeit with a situation around him that was awful. It's okay? So the hope was, well, you know, have Skoronski get better this year, bring in the Mandor at left tackle, what's better than having Nicholas Petit-Frere out there at some point. And on the whole, the offensive line will be better and Latham will look great. We'll see if that happens at some point this year. But, I mean, again, he looked bad yesterday. Looked totally overwhelmed.
No, he did. There was one play where, like, you know, they helped a lot. And, again, most teams help against Max Crosby. He's a monster. But, like, they had a play where, like, Chig is supposed to be helping him. And Chig, like, slingshotted him around the outside. You know, it's like if you're gonna have Chig help, he can't get to Chig's right. He has to keep him inside. But
yeah,
you know, that's so sometimes the scheme was flawed. They also then, I mean, again, the interior guys. I'd be interested to see, like, the PFF grades. The interior guys, you know, I mean Zeitler and Cushenberry let a guy through, and it's like you guys are blocking one guy between you.
Yeah.
And he just absolutely barreled between him and got. And
well, Devin White may have set an NFL record for how quick he got in the backfield yesterday.
Yeah,
on the fumble.
Yeah. So, but it is bad. And I think to your, you know, you mentioned like Titans media and stuff. I do think that there's a thing with Latham. Latham is an extremely likable, smart, like, he's awesome. And you're like, there's no way that guy's not going to be good, because that guy, like, he gets it. You know. So I think there is some of that. That influences how people look at players sometimes. So I think, you know, that along with just the fact that he's picked 7th and is, you know, there's other bad things here, you're like, okay, he'll be okay. He'll end up, and, you know, Skoronski has finally gotten to the point of being pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, it's also like 11-7 isn't pretty good, isn't,
you have to be great players.
Yeah. And it's so far from that right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the 20-10 loss for the Titans to drop to 1-5. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.